When we look at the troubles that are in the world today, it can be very tempting to think, why does God allow all this evil? Why is all this happening? That has been a question many people have asked over the centuries, especially when they see so many horrible things happening. How long can it be before Christ returns and sets the world straight? Well, we don't really know how long that will be, but we have to endure until that time, until the end of this age. I have had many conversations or have heard many statements of people in my generation who lament about our country today and what it's become. And I hear these various comments, and basically they say it's not the same country anymore. It's not the same country I grew up in. I'm of the child of the 60s and 70s. I grew up in those generation or those decades, and I think most of us here can relate to that time. We're generally a middle-aged and older crowd here. And you know what I'm talking about. This is a different world from the one that we grew up in. And we see evil being perpetuated constantly in the world and wonder how long. We wonder how long before God intervenes and sets the world straight. We are living in that age of the time of the end. There's no doubt, as we have often referred to that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times will come. We are there. And we are there, and I don't think anybody would argue that point. We see, as Paul wrote there, that evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, and that is what we're seeing today. When is it going to end? We don't know. But we know that it must, and it will. God will take care, and he will fulfill his promises. But until that happens, we have to endure. With all of the evil and the suffering around us that we see daily, this sermon is to show us how to do that. This is what it's about. How do we deal effectively with the evil of our age? And we're going to go to some ancient wisdom, wisdom that was penned 3,000 or so years ago in the Psalms, that give us explicit instruction and very encouraging. It comes from the pen of King David and the pen of Asaph. We'll look at a couple of Psalms that explain. So let's go to Psalm 37, first of all, a Psalm of David. And read with me there the first verse of Psalm 37, which says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." In other words, don't worry about what you see in the world today. Don't let that get, I guess you could say, under your skin to the point where it makes you envious, where it changes your attitude. So I've taken the title of the sermon today from that verse, "Don't fret the evil day." Don't fret the evil day, because God has it handled. We know that. But when we look at it with our natural mind, when we're living in this world and see what's going on around us, it's a little difficult at times, and we could get caught up, we could get discouraged, mad at what we see around us. But he has a plan to deal with that. He does see it. He does see the injustice of this world and the wrongdoing, but he is allowing it to go on for his purposes. In his word, as we'll look at today, we have abundant assurances that he will set things straight. There is a sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and there's a verse in there I think we'll all remember that Jesus Christ spoke. He said, "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" I mean, what's that going to do for you if you just worry about what's going on Or as this, in the context of Matthew 6, as he was talking about there, worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. But really, we could apply that to just worrying about things going on in the world, anything, anything at all. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? In that same passage of Scripture in Matthew 6, he gives us what we need to be focused on first, and that is Matthew 6, verse 33, which we all know very, very well. Seek first the kingdom of God. God has it handled, in other words. I'm going to take care of the evil day. Don't worry, Christ says, about tomorrow. Sufficient to the day is its own trouble. That's again from Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Several verses I quoted or paraphrased from the word, the mouth of Jesus Christ. But let's continue here in Psalms 37. Continue with this instruction, which I think as we go through it, we're going to find it's very encouraging and needful for us. And we see the same theme being repeated in a different way as we go through it. Don't worry, he says, or I should read verse 1 again. Don't fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. As this photo shows you, the beautiful flowers there, they're so delicate and attractive and beautiful, but all of that is passing away. It's all very, very temporary. And God wants us to get that in our mind, that all of what we see here is passing away. It is all very temporary. Our physical life itself is that way. And we hear, as we heard in the announcements, many people in situations of health that are very dire. And right now, we also know that if we have the right perspective, that our day is coming. Now, we're not going to last forever. And so we have to look at our lives and look at this world around us as this is just a temporary stop or condition that we all are going to, that is going to fade away. And if we keep our trust in God in the right place, he will bring to pass his word and preserve our lives. We need to understand that very deeply. He wants, his will is for us to live forever. And when we look at our physical circumstance, it might be hard to think about eternal life, especially when we see people doing the wrong things and getting away with it. And that's what we're seeing in the world today. That's what this psalm is giving us instruction and encouragement on how to deal with. Here's what to do then. This is the advice from David. Verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. It's quite a verse there. If you think about it, it breaks it down into four statements. Trust in the Lord, and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. This is like a mission statement for life. This is the direction we all should take. This is what David says, do this, like a mission statement. And this is, we know, not the world that we want to be in. It's a world that we're passing through. And while we're passing through it, dwell here and feed on his faithfulness. And his faithful word is that he's going to renew this world. And he's going to renew our lives. He's going to do away with the wickedness that we see all around us. That is certainly coming. Trust in God, even in the evil days, and he'll take care of you. And as we go through this psalm, God keeps telling us this, different ways and very reassuring. I look at it as I'm going through here and reading it, it's like an old friend coming down and sitting down beside you and giving you some advice. That's the way I look at this. It's like God himself coming down and giving us some heart-to-heart advice about how to deal with the evil that we see in the world today. And this is coming from the heart of David. We know was a man after God's own heart, and therefore it really is coming from God himself. He says, commit your way to him, and he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light. Even when the world is going in a different direction, commit your way to him, and he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light. That righteousness that is in you, that God is developing in you through the action of your will, being submissive to him, and then the Spirit of God working in you is creating in you a righteous person. You are that new person. And that righteousness is not what the world sees. The world doesn't believe that or see it. I feel almost like a stranger in my own land. I feel like people don't really know the real me because they don't know the life that I have with God. They don't understand my faith. I have that understanding here with you in the Church of God, but most people in the world, my family even, I don't share that with. He says, commit your way to him, and he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light. Rest in the Lord, verse 7, and wait patiently. Do not fret. Again, that word, do not fret. Do not worry about it. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So I'm thinking about that. So what do I see in the world today? Wicked schemes that are coming to pass. People who are prospering, and they seem to be getting away with it. And I'm thinking, well, entertainers, we see a lot of entertainment in the world today that just doesn't align at all with our values, but they seem to be just getting away with it. They continue to do it, and the world follows, and we see rock superstars. I won't mention any names, but you could fill in the blanks yourself, who have legions of followers. And I'm not going that way. At one time, I could tell you, when I was in my teen years, I listened to a lot of rock music. I think in our younger days, we probably all did. And I had my favorites, and I was, I guess, a groupie in a way, a rock fan. But as I grew out of it, as I began to follow God's way of life after being called at about 20, those things just weren't fitting anymore with the way I was going. And now I could see how the whole world can follow after entertainment, and it still isn't lining up. It doesn't line up with what God wants for me. And so I'm different. We are different. How else can we see this, maybe, in our world today? Politics? Do we see it in the world of politics? I think we see it a lot there, where politicians, they misrepresent, lie, don't follow through. I think it's very difficult to be in any leadership position in the world today. Political leadership is one where I think we could name, well, there's something, there is evil in the world that people are getting away with it, and they continue to be elected into office. This week, you know, I look at world news, I'm watching what's going on in the world, as we all should, and I notice that Vladimir Putin had a meeting with Kim Jong-un. He's the leader of North Korea. The two got together the first time Putin went to North Korea in like over 20 years. And we thought by putting, the United States thought by putting sanctions on Russia after their attack of Ukraine, that would help shut him down. But the Russian economy responded in a way that we didn't really expect. It did go down a bit, but it's coming back. And we see starting to form a whole new power block in another part of the world between nations that are foreign to the United States, like Russia, North Korea, China, those nations who are making new ties, and they seem to be successful. We see a growing economic powerhouse. China for years now has become a powerhouse. Russia is an advanced nation with nuclear weapons, also North Korea. So when we look at even the bigger picture and we see the evil that is going on in the world, we know these nations are not godly nations. And God allows it to bring his purposes to pass. So when we look out at the world today, God tells us, don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. That's verse 7. Because of men who bring wicked schemes to pass. Because they will come to pass according to his will. He has a plan to take care of that. And people, as I've said, down through the ages have asked, well, why does God allow all this evil? Why does he let it continue? And the fact is that he is God, and he has the ability to give life and take life. He has given us eternal life through belief in the sacrifice of his son. Now we are different from the world. When we look at the world today, we might become angry. And that's what God is telling us here in this psalm. Verse 8, it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Again, that word, fret or worry, because it only causes harm. Just don't go that way. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Because it only causes harm. You may have been a victim of people who have done bad things to you, people who have betrayed you, people who have stolen from you. God says, don't get upset with those things. Don't become bitter at him. He doesn't want you to lose your faith over those things that have happened. And sadly, some people have. Over the years, I've seen people leave the church because they can't understand why God could allow the evil that's in the world. But God says, don't get upset, don't get angry. The Apostle James wrote, be slow to wrath, because the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. You're not going to fix anything by doing it the way you want to do it. God will take care of it. Let him take care of it. So the world is not the way it is meant to be. And for a while, he is allowing it to go on for his purposes. But evildoers of any kind will not stand in his kingdom. And this psalm assures us of that in several places here. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. For yet a little while, the wicked will be no more, verse 10, and indeed you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. And when that time comes, God is going to fix all the evil in this world. There's a passage in the book of Malachi, which is the last chapter, or the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi reads, chapter 4 of Malachi, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly, will be stubble, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. They'll be gone. And that's what we need to be assured of when we see all of the evil going on in the world, even affecting our lives. But the meek, verse 11, of chapter 37 of Psalms. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We've heard this in another place. Someone else said this. We all know very well. Jesus Christ said these very same words. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's Matthew 5, verse 5. And David is assuring us of the very same thing. The meek will inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And those who continue the evil or evil practice, who continue to rebel against God, they're not going to stand. And they will face, as this message brings out, as the psalm brings out, their end. They will be no more. Verse 17, we'll skip down a few. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. And the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So he knows what's going on in your life. He knows the days of the upright. Sometimes I think that's hard to imagine, that God sees everything that we go through. And I've said this before, that when we go through a problem, when we go through a trial, we may not know at the time why. Or why is this happening to me? Or how is this going to end? Or when will it end? And where is God in all of this? But after we go through the trial, then we could look back. We have a better vision of where God was in that time when we wondered, where was he? He was right next to us, right with us. God knows, it says, verse 18, the days of the upright. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going through. He knows the trouble that you're enduring for his sake. And the upright, verse 19, will not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked, verse 20 now, but the wicked will perish. Again, we see it. Again, several times mentioned. What's going to happen to the wicked? They're going to die. They're going to end. Their end is coming. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. This picture again showing beautiful meadow, all of it passing away. This is the imagery that God is using for us to help us understand, as good as it looks, as beautiful as it looks, it's all very temporary. It's all very temporary, just as the wicked are. In fact, brethren, just as our lives are, all very temporary and passing away. What will remain is righteousness. The righteous character that God is developing in us, that will remain. So God knows all that you're going through in this world. He sees everything, and he promises beyond doubt. And as he says it over several verses here, several times in different ways with beautiful imagery, he will save you. And he will cut the wicked off. He will preserve your righteous life forever. Continuing in verse 25, David, with this perspective, after being an old man now, he said, I have been young, verse 25, and now I am old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He's never seen that. It's as he's looking back over all his years. He may have seen the righteous person suffering, going through hard times. He himself did as well. But he looked back and he said, you know, I never lacked for bread. God always took care of me. And I think all of us could look back over our lives and see God has always taken care of us, even when it seemed very difficult. God always brought us through. We can think of examples of people we know in the faith who have kept the faith for years, died in the faith, and they died, the ones I know have been known personally, they died surrounded by family. They weren't in destitute poverty. They were taken care of. God was with them right to the end. We can think of many examples like that. The righteous man, he says, I've never seen forsaken. He is ever merciful and he lends. This is the righteous person, and his descendants are blessed. Verse 26. So depart from the Lord. He comes back to this point. This is what you must do. Depart from evil, rather. Do good and dwell forevermore. Depart from evil. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Beautiful psalm. Beautiful imagery as well. The righteous, as he says, verse 29, they will inherit the land. Again, saying, this is our destiny. We're going to inherit the earth. It might look bad right now, and we see the world doing its own thing. And we seem to have no, we're not part of it at all. But all of it, all of this, the earth and all of the creation is our inheritance. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Continuing then in verse 34, this is the advice again. He's coming back to tell us what to do. Do this. Verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. You're going to see their end. That promise is very comforting, to know that God is going to take care of it. When we see all the things going on, see all the justice, injustice and wrongdoing now, God's judgment is coming. So wait on God. Wait on God and see the end of the wicked. This psalm is tremendous assurance from God himself. As he continues, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. And so we could see that in the world today. This is not our world. And the wicked are in great power. We see very rich and influential leaders in this world that seem to be so successful, spreading themselves like, David writes here, like a native green tree, just looking so successful. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. He's gone. He's seen this in his own life. We will see it too. So mark the blameless man, verse 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous, verse 39, is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He certainly is. In spite of how difficult it can be for us at times, he is our strength. If we keep going to him, trusting in him, waiting on him, as this psalm is encouraging us to do, we will find that he will never forsake us. He will deliver them, as verse 40 says, from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This is a beautiful and reassuring psalm. Very, very lovely. Again, written by David about 3,000 years ago. Timeless wisdom that is as good now as it was then. But there is another psalm I'd like to look at. And this one is Psalm 73. This one is about one who does get overwhelmed by the evil that he sees in the world. This Psalm 73, but a psalm of Asaph. And as we start reading this one, the attitude is opposite, different, opposite. He gets caught up in it, and he gets angry, envious, Let's read it. Verse 1 of Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, and such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My lips had nearly slipped. For I was angry. I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he let himself get overtaken by it. I saw it. Look at them, and there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They just seem to go on and on. They're not in trouble, verse 5, as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. He becomes envious of the wicked. He looks like, if we looked at the world around us and say, you know what, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good for me to try to live righteously and by faith in this present age. Many people have made that decision, and we must not. We must not. The psalmist goes on then for several more verses to talk about and really complain about the behavior of the wicked. And certainly he has a lot to complain about. And we do too when we look at what's going on in our world. And then verse 12 he says, "Behold, these are the ungodly. They're always at ease and they just increase in riches. But they don't have the pangs of consciousness that we do. Their heart is not troubled with breaking God's law. That doesn't bother them. For us, it's a different story. They are content with sin and sinful behavior." So he says, he comes to this conclusion when he's still in this wrong attitude. Verse 13, "Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning." So he's just saying, what good does this do for me? Why have I tried to deny myself all the pleasures that seem to be available to the world, and I live this way of life? I've chosen to cleanse my heart. It's not done me any good. That's the conclusion he was coming to. And then he says, then he comes to his senses when it seems like he's going to even sink further. He comes to his senses. He said, "If I had spoken thus, if I had said these things, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. That would have hurt your faithful ones." Now, we've seen in the past in the Church of God, the church go off track. 30 years ago, we saw false doctrines coming in and saying, you know what, it's just, we're too much of a burden to try to continue keeping the Sabbath, or let's just go ahead and start eating pork or celebrating Christmas. You know, that's easier. So the church, many in the church made that decision because it was hard. It was hard to be separate from the world and live this way of life. A lot of times it doesn't feel good. We go through problems, and it is a difficult and lonely place in this world to be a Christian. But he said, if I had said those things, if I had done that, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until he goes, verse 17, into the sanctuary of God. He goes to God, and then I understood their end. He goes to his private place. It was where we go when we are troubled, when we are overwhelmed. We go into that place, that sanctuary, to understand God's plan. Understand it is not yet for God to intervene, that the wickedness in the world will continue, and that our endurance must continue, our endurance in the faith, in spite of being in a very lonely, being very alone in the world as we are, a scattered group, the Church of God. But this is where you go. This is where we all must go to understand, into the sanctuary of God, on our knees, in our prayers, in contemplating the Word of God. That's where we go, to that throne of grace that we have access to by the sacrifice of Christ. Then we can understand. We can understand the end of the wicked, and the end for ourselves, what this means for ourselves, that God is going to preserve our lives. When we see his plan as he's promised us. Over and over again, we have essentially the same encouragement. Go to God, be faithful to him, trust in him, and he will take care of you in the wicked day, and he will also take care of the wickedness of this world. Understanding comes when we look at God's word. And the psalmist here, Asaph, is telling us this for our own benefit. I think it's good for us to know, yeah, we might feel that way, might feel overwhelmed, might feel bitter, might feel like it's not worth it. The psalmist put that all into his experience here and wrote it for us as a lesson. Hey, this is where I was going. Don't do this. You need to go to God like I did. Go to that sanctuary and understand. When we understand the will of God, even if it's hard to keep enduring in this world, it gives us hope, it gives us that strength to carry on for another day. As Jesus Christ said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And it really is more like a journey of one day at a time, one day to the next, to the next, to the next, and getting through this long endurance. So the psalmist then, and kind of summarizes what just happened to him. And he explains it again. So thus, verse 21 of Psalm 73. Thus I was grieved. This is where I was. This is where my mind was. Thus I was grieved, and thus I was vexed in my mind. He did fret himself with the evil day. He did. But I was so foolish and ignorant, and I was like a beast before you. Before his God. And so remember what James said, the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And David in Psalm 37 said, don't fret the evil day, because expressing our anger and our wrath over the things in the world today, really that's only going to make us look bad. Look bad to our brethren, look bad to God. He understood this. I was acting like this and I was like a beast before you. This is what he says. This is a confession from someone who's been there. He tried that and it didn't work. So when we see ourselves as we are, needing God, very weak, unable to do anything about what we see going on in the world around us, there is only one choice for us. It is only going to God. As he continues here, verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you, and you hold me by my right hand. He realized, even though he was going through all that trouble, and his attitude was really getting bitter, God was there and holding him by his right hand. God never left him, even when he was getting vexed in his mind and carried away in his bitterness. Verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And afterward, meaning after this life, you will receive me to glory. So these, both these Psalms are kind of like bookends, 37 and 73, to how do we deal with the evil in our world today? We must remember that God has a plan to deal with it, and that is our only hope. That is all that we have when we consider how much we can affect what's going on in today's world and how this world is going. It is not our place. We can, of course, preach God's word and live God's word, be an example for God's word, but the world is going to continue in its wickedness. So he says then, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing else. And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. In other words, nothing else would satisfy him. Nothing else of this world was really worth it to him. What was most satisfying was the knowledge of God, knowing God was with him. So he says this, who have I in heaven but you? And there's none on earth that I desire besides you. You're the only thing that I really want. Your knowledge, your salvation, that's what I really want. And though, verse 26, my heart and my flesh will fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So Asaph did come to his senses. He got himself realigned. It took a trial. It took him getting pretty upset. It seemed like he was at the verge of just leaving it all together. But he came into the sanctuary of God and got himself straightened out. For indeed, verse 27, we'll just read a couple more verses here in the psalm. For indeed, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. And he concludes with this reminder to himself. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I might declare your works. And it is good for us to understand the struggle of this righteous person when dealing with the evil in the world. We can relate to him. The wicked and all the evil in this world and all flesh will fail, but God will preserve the righteous. They will inherit the earth. Just as this 3,000-year-old wisdom assures us. Let's close with a few verses. We'll come to a few verses and then close in the New Testament. First come to 2 Peter. Kind of tie this all together for the sermon here. First, 2 Peter chapter 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Again, an assurance statement for us. Beloved, don't forget this one thing, that 1,000 years with the Lord, with a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, God has a plan. He's got a very big picture, far bigger than what we could imagine. And our endurance from day to day, we need to keep ourselves aware of that. And that's why Peter writes this. Remember that. Don't forget this, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years to us, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is allowing things to go on, in part so that all will have an opportunity to hear his word. And our job in this world is to continue to represent that word, to show that God has always had a message of hope, a gospel of salvation that has been available to the world, even though we're small in number now. But the evidence will be there when the world is called into account. They'll see that message, the opportunity, has always been there. And then, of course, those who have never had their chance in this life, God, we know in his great plan, will give them their opportunity. God will deal with the world's evil, but he doesn't want anyone to die forever. He doesn't want to slay the righteous in the sense that they are going to be eternally gone. But some will make that choice. Some will make that choice, as we know. Revelation 21, verse 8, I'll just read this verse to you, or if you would like to turn, Revelation 21, verse 8, says the cowardly, the unbelieving, talking about all the wickedness in this world today, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And they will be as ashes under the soles of our feet, those who did not choose to believe God. So the conclusion really is what is very apparent from the beginning of these two psalms that we read today. Always hope that God is going to do what he says. He has it handled. He will not allow the evil day to continue. So we'll close with a few passages now from Hebrews. Come over to Hebrews chapter 10. Our job is to keep our endurance up, hang in there, keep representing the word of God, the gospel of God to the world, keep doing that, because God is going to do what he says. And in the meantime, before the end, he's not going to leave us without hope. He's not going to leave us alone. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And this is really just saying the same thing again. Keep up your endurance until the end, and you will receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. And now, today's world, with all the evil around us, and now in this age, in this life, the just will live by faith. We read in Psalm 37, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. That's how we live. That's how we survive. That's how we endure this evil age. But if anyone, verse 38, continuing here of Hebrews 10, verse 38, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So if you do turn away and give up, God has no pleasure in that. But we, verse 39, and I trust that we all are here, brethren. Well, we need this word of encouragement. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Eternal salvation. Here's the answer to what is God doing about all the wickedness in this world. a question many have wrestled with through the ages, a question which has caused some to become bitter and leave the faith, as Asaph almost did. Here's the answer. It won't be long. It won't be long, God says. He who is coming will come for yet a little while. In the meantime, put your trust in God to do what he was promised, but what he has promised, and don't fret the evil day. Don't fret the evil day. One final verse in Hebrews chapter 13, two verses here, Hebrews 13. This has given me great comfort, this verse, many times over the years. I've repeated it in many sermons, I've written it in prayer cards, but it's a good one to remember. Let your conduct be without covetousness. This is verse 5 of Hebrews 13. And be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can take that to the bank and put our complete trust in that. So we may boldly say, verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can happen to me in this age before the return of Christ, when I see all the evil around us? What can that do to me if the Lord is my helper? If he is, I will not fear. No matter what we see in the world today, let's always believe that God is with us, he will not forsake us, and he will see us through. And he will deal with all the evil in the world. And as David counseled us, quoting again from Psalm 37, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. No, brethren, don't fret the evil day.